Good morning, everyone, and I'd just like to welcome everyone to the call, and I just love being on the phone with all of you folks every day. It definitely revs me up, and, you know, we become like the people we associate with, and with life, and especially if we choose to join NECAN, it just gives us access to just some wonderful people that we'd like to have as friends anyway, and they happen to be ambitious friends that want to change the world and make a difference, getting a bunch of people together, you get this magic of synergy where things become accelerated and effort becomes multiplied, and then also as time moves on, the thrill of sharing this with other people and building your own teams within the team, and boy, it's just what a rich way to live your life, being anxiously engaged in a great cause with good people and making a difference. And today, my good friend of many years, Mike DiMuccio, is on the phone. Mike has got an amazing and diversified background. You've been down the road, looked at all sorts of things, and maybe you could share that with some of you that might not know about you personally, Mike. And then we just got back from Orlando, celebrating the 40th anniversary, which interestingly, although it's 40 years, it's a brand new beginning. And if you could kind of express your thoughts about that too. But Mike, share some thoughts that I know will touch a lot of hearts and minds today. And that, in fact, that's why I want you on the call. If you're listening and you're open, what Mike is going to tell you will change everything about your life.
Wow. Well, thanks, Dave. That's quite an introduction, and thank you for that. I have to tell you, I've never seen anything like this in all my years. I'm just really, really excited. Last night I sponsored my stepbrother, actually. Yes, you were on the phone. Dave was kind enough to give me a call back, and I introduced him to him. And that's a big step for me, too, because, you know, when you're involving family, then there's responsibilities that go with that beyond just the average person. But this is a good person, kind-hearted, really ambitious, and I would love to have him on my team. He sees the timing of his life. He turned this down some years ago, but he sees it now. And his life is evolving. He's now with a child and has a second one on the way. And, you know, that's the whole thing about it is you just don't know when someone's going to be ready, but if you're there and you're building rapport and building relationships, then that call may come. And it couldn't have been at a better time, because what I think is happening right now is akin to me, like I was just getting started in 1992 all over again. That's how I feel. That's what it feels like. That's the level of intensity and the level of interaction that I'm having with my team. But let me go back a bit. I don't know. I don't feel that qualified, to be honest. I mean, I have a degree in aerospace engineering. And while I did get my degree, at the same time I was pursuing an interest of music, which for me and my family has been always a passion. And it turned out that a few of my demos got some attention. Next thing I know, I landed a recording contract. And there I was, fresh out of university, not even looking for a job, but straight into the music business under a recording contract to write, produce, and record original music, and then be the recording artist along with my now brother-in-law. At that time, my keyboard partner and the co-writer. So that was what I thought was going to be where I made my mark in the world. I certainly could imagine it in my years growing up. I was a huge, huge fan of the TV series called Star Trek, which I think has inspired so many engineers to produce a lot of the toys that we have today in our world. And so that was sort of what led me down the path of aerospace, figuring that maybe one day I could, you know, be connected to the space program through NASA, and that would the way to get to that would be an aerospace engineering degree here in Canada. However, the music was also something that came out of an interest in the lifestyle that I often saw displayed on the television series called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach, and I just loved the interviews that he would do, kind of like doing my own now, and he would interview you know, famous people in the music business or show business, and they always seem to have such an amazing life and lifestyle, and of course they have all the beautiful things that go with that. But the most important thing that I saw was they said they had a sense of purpose and a sense of freedom. And that, boy, that really touched me, because that was what I was after. I could totally relate to the idea to boldly go where no one had gone before, you know, and to be living free and exploring. And so it's no wonder I would end up in Niken, because it's the perfect blend of both in reality, in terms of my life and how my life has unfolded with Niken. When I first saw this, it was like a breath of fresh air. I saw the humanness of the message of Niken, the humans being more message. It was a promotional video that I saw. The first video I saw was promoting our founder, Simon Masuda, and a number of people like Reed Nelson, who is in your organization, Dave, and my upline, who were saying things on this video that were inspiring. One of the things I remember Reed said was, "Who's next? Maybe you." That's how they end that video. And I was watching that video and thinking, why not me? And 2 days later, I was on the phone with this guy, Reed Nelson, and I'm thinking, wow. I mean, talk about being close to the action. And so that was inspiring, that I could actually get close to somebody who was making it happen. That, to me, felt like, and my whole life journey has sort of been like that, where I've always gotten close to people who mentored or coached or worked with me or produced me, and it's always helped to have somebody sort of lead me or guide me, and then when I got on my feet, I could then run from there. And so I saw the opportunity to work with Reed and to work with this company that I knew was destined for greatness. I knew after my 48 hours of introduction, which was a product experience for myself and my lower back, which was a product experience for my father, problems he had with his sciatica, both of us relieved in no time at all. And reading through the materials, understanding how Niken's compensation plan is different, the roots of the company, especially being originating from Japan, which is, I feel, a very advanced society, having been here now 5 times, I witnessed it firsthand. So everything added up. Everything was like, wow, this could be your break. Now, that was at a crossroads in my life too, where my music career didn't go. After about 2 years, things fell apart at the record label, and with that went my music career. And so I ended up working as an electrician. That's how the back injury took place. So there I was, completely underliving my life, not going anywhere where I wanted to go. In fact, physical labor. I mean, I enjoyed the creative side of it. I would be able to design the electrical of all types of buildings and homes and so forth. So I loved the creative side of it. But I had 3 crews that I was managing, early wake-up calls, freezing cold days in the wintertime, splinters in my hand, cuts, bruises, you name it, backache, whatever, breathing asbestos and all kinds of nonsense into my lungs. God knows how many years I shaved off my life just working as an electrician for a few years. And so my life was in fast reverse. It wasn't in fast forward. It was just going the wrong way fast. So when Niken was introduced to me, I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And thank goodness for that, because I don't know if I might have missed it. So long story short, I saw what I needed to see, got excited enough to say, okay, I'm going to do this seriously. And serious to me meant finding some people who could be serious with me. I mean, I wasn't looking for hobbyists. I wasn't looking for customers, I can tell you that much. I was looking for people who could help me put Niken on the map. And that was a tall order, given that there was no Niken in Canada at the time, and that I had very little experience, if at all. And I didn't really know that many people, to be honest. I mean, everybody knows people, but I didn't think I knew that many people who would be that kind of a person, or a salesperson, or a business person, or whatever. But I did know some. And I appealed to them. I asked them for their help. That was my approach, was to ask them for their help, if not directly, indirectly, by leading me to who they feel I should be speaking with once they have a chance to understand what it is that I'm doing, what is it that I see, and how they could help. And they all were open to that. Nice people are always open to lending a hand, especially if you kind of edify them by making them feel like, you know, their words, their input, their insight would be helpful, and you appreciate that. And so I always started my conversations with how much I appreciated them as a person, and then I would turn it to, I've come across something that I think is really important, it could make a huge impact, it already is, and I could really use some help getting things underway. So that's how I made my initial contact, and it worked. Not everybody got in, of course, but a number of people did. And that spun into an amazing first month, a real launch. And so right now, I'm feeling that all over again. The first thing that I did in January when Nikan announced the mentoring program is I put it out to my team and I said, I'm looking to work with who wants to run with me. And some people came to the foreground and they signed the mentoring agreement. And we've been initiating activity since then. I can tell you right now, two didn't make the grade after the first month. Actually, one dropped out after the first month, the second after the second month. So not everybody who's got Mike DiMuccio as their sponsor is going to keep their word. So it's really not so much about me, is it? It's really about whether or not they want what they say they want and they're willing to commit. I mean, I can tell you this, and I know I'm going all over the place, but the one thing that I have experienced in the last couple of months is the interesting interpretation of the word commitment. I find that most people haven't a clue what it means. They think the word means I'll try, or I'll do my best, or, you know, as long as I say it out loud, it means I've committed. And, of course, I'm finding, and so are they, as we're putting the accountability in place, that, you know, a commitment is, you know, either you are getting married or you're not getting married. Because if you are getting married, you're going to set a date. You're going to, you know, get the church. You're going to send out the invitations. You're going to order the florists, the musicians, all the things. If you're not committed to it, you won't do those things. The wedding date will come and go if there ever was a wedding date. So the question is that Ben, our president, put out, I really love, was, are you contributing to your goal or are you committed to it? And I found that most people, if not everyone, is just contributing to their goal. They're not committed to it. And this takes me back to when I went Royal Diamond, and I know the difference between commitment and contribution. And by the way, just as a footnote, I ended up achieving my goal of Royal Diamond 6 hours ahead of schedule, a goal that I projected out 5 months in advance. There were 15 new silvers that had to be created, none of which were identified, all of which were on my second level, not even my first level. All of that took place, not because I was contributing to my goal, but because I made an absolute commitment to my goal, and some of my teammates did the same. Anyway, so that's sort of my little intro. Dave, I don't know where you want to take it from there.
Oh, man, what awesome advice. And I love your thoughts about commitment. There's just something really powerful, and of course, I believe the universe. Something happens when you commit yourself. All of a sudden, it's like we'll see about that. We're going to test you.
Well, Dave, I'm a scientist. At the end of the day, I'm a scientist, and so a lot of my research is in the area of physics and in the last, I don't know, 15 years, metaphysics, which is an advanced study of physics. And as an aerospace engineer, I was in class with the professors writing the book of the various maths and so forth that were being postulated at the time. So I was in the very leading edge of theoretical research and physical research. And so it's only natural that I ended up in studying metaphysics, which we now know. What you're saying is, you know, you're suggesting that maybe there is a force out there that swoops in to meet us at our level of commitment and conviction. I can say with absolute certainty that exists. And I know you believe that too, Dave. So I can tell you the difference between success and failure is commitment. Period. End of story.
Oh, absolutely. So something magic happens. And also, especially if you really want to do something great, it's really hard to do it by yourself. You need a team. You need a movement. And
And if you want people to buy into your vision, and that's really what leadership is all about, as Larry Proffitt always has said, that leadership is the enthusiastic communication of your vision. And for that to happen, people can size you up in seconds. Instinctively, we can all tell within probably just a second or two whether you're really committed or not. And the very people that we need the most, you know, people that have that leadership potential, the power inside them to make commitments, they're not going to follow one who's uncommitted. And so, you know, magic things happen the moment one is committed. And I love this thought that even in horrible situations, you can always see the hand of God. And if you really believe in destiny and that this is part of what this is, that you have a life's mission, and if you can really get inside yourself that's what Nikan is all about, rather than just a game to play or something to try, but this is worthy of your all, that this could be your life's mission, and then get out there and make that happen. All of a sudden, just amazing things happen. And I've heard this also, because this mentorship, you know, where you're having somebody that possibly many times might believe more in you than you do in yourself at the moment. You know, having a great coach can make all the difference to your team winning. And I've heard someone say that we all have these inner voices, and that we should turn them into great encouragers instead of saboteurs. You know, that we, you know, you're a musician. We want to play powerful and uplifting music in our minds. But great stuff. And I've known you a long time. You're a great leader. But I'm seeing something different. I was just really close to you when you were on stage, and I can remember just looking at you, and you just expressing where, you know, I could tell that you knew this was as good as it's been, like the wonderful book that's out there, From Good to Great. You know, we've been really, really good. We've done a lot of good in the world, but it's fun to see us right in the middle of transformation into something truly great, and that we are going to change the world, and that we can make such a wonderful difference together, and this is the time has come. The very best leadership I've seen anywhere. We've already had the best product, and it's just fun to be at this moment. And I know you feel that. If you could just maybe just a moment, just kind of express kind of what's happened in the last couple of months that's changed your spirit about this.
Yeah, well, it has, Dave. It really has. And I was happy-go-lucky coasting along, and well, that's not true either, because I'm actually not that happy coasting along. I'm really happiest when I'm in the game, and I didn't feel the need, or I saw it, but I didn't feel it. And about 2 years ago, last November, I was invited to attend the Millionaires Club VIP reception in Woburn Abbey in the United Kingdom by Ben, who was managing director of Nikan Europe at the time, and Kurt was there, our CEO at the time, and chairman now. Anyway, so in Ben's presentation to us prior to the formal event, he had a number of people there, member of the Direct Selling Association. And then he spoke. Ben spoke and delivered what I had. I was so blown away by this presentation of Ben's, because it was speaking a new language. It was speaking a language that I was very familiar with, something that I had been studying about marketing. And I was so excited about his talk. I stood up after he was finished. I looked like an idiot, but I stood up applauding loudly, and I said, I announced, Ben, if I had a medal to give, I'll give it to you right now. And that was in front of my peers, in front of the CEO, because I was so impressed with what he was saying and the direction that he saw us needing to go. And I have been for many, many years an advocate of certain things that I felt would be critical if Niken was going to ever be that great company that you and I have imagined in our minds. I mean, we have been good. There's no question about it. We're as good as it gets, but that's not the same thing as being absolutely great. You know, there are a lot of good companies out there, but there's only one Apple. And Apple was at a point in time where they were a good company. You know, stock was doing reasonably well, and they were making good products, and people were buying them, and they had a loyal following. And then something happened. There was just a small thing. Yeah, they brought in the guy with the vision again. They brought him back, Steve Jobs, and with him came an innovation called the iPod. And shortly after that, he introduced a guy named Denzel Feigelson, who I know personally. He was sitting on a board of one of the companies I was working at. And Denzel was the guy who invented iTunes. And so you combine iPod with iTunes, and the next thing you know is a complete revolution in how we do business and how Apple evolved into one of the greatest companies on the planet. So it could be just a simple combination of things that happen at a moment in time that just blow the lid off of something. And so when Ben had that presentation, I felt that. That's what I felt. But that was 2 years ago. That was long before he was announced president of Niken Global and then was able to literally bring this idea to life. So we went through this two-year period of waiting and wondering and waiting and wondering. And in this business, hesitation is death. I mean, it's like rigor mortis steps in. So it's hard to stay upbeat and alive and so forth when you're anticipating something but you don't know. And then, boom, the announcement. And then immediately Ben goes into action. I mean, he's not slowly moving into the scene and starting to build rapport and all that. He comes loaded. He's a loaded pistol. So immediately he fires out of the gate with the mentoring program, with the Team Kaizen, the Team Taishi, with the quality enrollments. It was like boom, bang, bing, bang, boom. It's like wow. So all of the stuff that he was talking about in terms of the practical application. Of course it's not all there. We know it's not all there in place because there's still IT that has to be put in place, which we got a glimpse of at the convention. There's still things that need to come in to support this new agenda and this Niken 2.0. But what I'm certain of is that he has the ground to run on, and he's running. He's right out of the gate, and he's got my attention, and he's got the attention of a lot of people, not just the person, who's an amazing person, but the fact that he's got real substance that he's bringing to bear. So it's the kind of thing that infusion that Steve Jobs brought to Apple when he came back after a period of this lull and the company was rocky and things were going, stocks were going down and nobody knew if they were going to survive and blah, da, 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 da. But he comes back and then the rest is history, so to speak. So this is kind of where we're at. And I feel that. And then the convention was sort of well, let's just see. I mean, most of us, me especially, is already engaged in the mentoring program and so forth. But this convention was an opportunity to see how everyone else was responding to this and to see what they were doing to supplement, if you will, this vision. What are they putting in place? Give us a sneak peek of what's to come and where your efforts are. And when they unveiled what they were unveiling with the website, And the quality of the event and the quality of the speakers, what it felt like. I was talking to Julie Tarr yesterday. She called me and said, "How do you think I did on my talk?" And I was like, "Oh my God, Julie,
over the top."
I said, "That was one of you went to a place so deep in the well that what came forward was effortless, egoless, and so profound and meaningful that I think people are going to be buzzing off of that for decades. It was just so deep." And I said, "I'm sure even some people don't know what hit them. They're not conscious of what hit them, but something in you was coming through that was unbelievable." And that's true also of Susan Carver, who hit the nail on the head. That combined talk, along with the quality that Niken brought to the convention, which was quality. It wasn't quantity and hype. It was real quality. You know, right down to the details, like the band, quality. And so that to me is a demonstration of the commitment to this MeCan 2.0 becoming a reality. So I know where I stand right now. I know I'm at the precipice of a huge new wave in MeCan. I think it's going to be unstoppable this time because the world has organized itself and changed so much that what we have to offer today is more relevant and more important than 20 years ago or 23 years ago when I first got started. We are now poised to be great, to become the company that goes from good to great. What does that mean in practical terms? It means no matter how many millions you and I may have made, the probably the biggest income earner hasn't even signed an application yet. That's what it means. Somebody is going to smell this and come in here and just light a fire and be the huge, the next big star, as is in every industry. In every industry, we see it time and time again, a new star on the scene, somebody who's in the headlines and so forth. So that's what I see. And I was so happy to see our international consultants because there were a lot of new faces and a lot of young faces. The demographic of the international business was pretty amazing. I think most of them were somewhere between the age of 30 and 40. And so that's telling itself, that we're now appealing to this next wave of closing the generational gap. And I'm personally coaching and mentoring a couple of girls from Paris who are in the 20-year-old market to see how they can position MeCan so that it's suitable to that market. We never had that approach where we were literally working at marketing to the 20-year-olds, to the 30-year-olds, to the 40-year-olds, and the seniors. I mean, we were never that sophisticated, but we are now. We also, and by the way, I want to underscore this because this was one of the biggest announcements for me that got me so excited. I know it's probably not going to mean much to most people, but to me it means a lot. The fact that MeCan contracted a third-party company to do their marketing and rebranding for their global initiative to globalize and centralize their operations, to go to that third party who can come to MeCan with a completely fresh outlook, that is so significant to me because if there's anything we've ever fallen short on, in my opinion, is we've done a lousy job of telling the message. One of the greatest stories ever told, and I don't think we've done a very good job telling it. We've been okay, but we could have done a much better job. And so we need help for that, and that's what we're getting.
And it was it's a top-tier agency that is very distinguished in the field of marketing. And so I think all of us that are on the inside, we already know we really do have the best story to tell. And being able to tell it better, and then our job is to tell it more often. It is so exciting. And talk about stories. If I could just say something, when you were talking about Steve Jobs and Apple and different things like that, Jeff Isom, who is our leader as far as marketing and he's been in MeCan a long time. He's a pretty shrewd investor, and he talked about if you don't know anything, probably play it safe. Work with mutual funds where you spread the risk. But if you are passionate about a particular product, chances are other people are as well, and learn about that. And he talked about how he followed Apple, and it just made sense what they were doing. And because of his awareness, he knew before other people, and he bought, he bought Apple pennies on the dollar. Huge profit. And he told a couple of other stories, and I think about that because we all have heard stories where people that have known what's going on, especially if they, have some kind of insider information or close to that, they can make not just a good return, but 1,000 or 2,000% return or more. And I think about all of us that were at the convention that know a little bit about MeCan. It's just literally like inside information where
We know where health is going. Everything's happening, and we can invest in stock, not in a dollar way, but with sweat equity. We can put our energy, and I believe the best investment you can ever make is in yourself, in your own business, but with a backdrop and support of the NECAN team, you can get thousands and thousands and thousands of percent return on your effort and become financially free. Bring a lot of people along with you, change the world, and daily just have a life of fun and fulfillment. What a return with no downside.
Dave, you mentioned something. I want to sort of reiterate this. Anybody listening to this call and listening to me who's ever listened to me knows something's different about me. There's no question about it. I know you know this. If you're listening to my voice, you feel this. There's something, I'm not sure the name they give to it, but in every major uptake of a company or a stock or whatever, there's those who get involved at the very, very beginning, before anybody sees it, recognizes it, but they have this sixth sense. They're just so good at that. They don't always stick around. They don't always stay with the project because they're always looking for that next big hit, that next big swing. And so in a company, there's usually this huge rise, the swell that comes from their foresight and their ability to promote and get the thing going. Then it sort of declines a bit, then it stabilizes. And there's a whole thing called Crossing the Chasm. I think it was a book that was written about this concept. And then what remains behind is a company that, if it's able to cross the chasm, will then go into a long, sustained exponential growth. And that chasm is where they have to deal with the change that has to happen in order for them to retool, to shore up their product line, to better define who they are and where they stand in the marketplace, what their sweet spot is. Because it's easy when you got those front-end promoters promoting. They can sell anything to anybody pretty much. But if you're going to be sustainable, if you're going to be there for the long haul, you've got to have something of substance. And it's during that chasm that most companies fail. They just cannot cross the chasm. They don't have what it takes. They don't have the money to invest in the research and development, and they don't really have the committed following who are people who really are committed and dedicated to the product, to the company's mission, and so forth. We have all of those pieces together. I think we're now on the other side of the chasm. I'm sure about that. And so if you were somebody, and I was one of the people at the beginning of the swing in North America. So if you're somebody listening to me right now, and you and Dave and some of the other leaders who are basically talking like I'm talking, take note that we feel something. There's some, and if we were right about this before, and I can say for both of us, Dave, I think we were right about this when we got involved, that we suspected this was going to be big, but with or without us. You're $40 million later, my $20-plus million later. You know, we can look back and say, wow, we were right. I'm telling you, we're right. There's something happening right now. It's big. It's huge. The next wave is upon us. And now it's a matter of, don't sit there and think about it. Start paddling like crazy. And I feel the need to do that, me, Mike DiMuccio. I don't have to do it, but I want to and I feel compelled to. I'm encouraging anybody listening to this, pick up on our vibe and understand that this is your moment. This is an opportunity for you to make things happen like never before.
Well, Mike, I just, you know, you go around day to day and you look at people, and if you consciously look at what people do, so many people have iPhones as an example. And the reason almost everybody has iPhones is one singular individual, Steve Jobs. That's why, you know, he's changed the world. Apple is big. And I look at NECAN, we have better products. And with Ben Woodward, and I don't think there's any hyperbole at all to compare him to Steve Jobs. He is every bit as visionary, very passionate, very skilled. And with our product, I can see the same thing happening. It'll everybody needs NECAN, and it's going to be big. And you mentioned the best biggest things, you know, the largest leaders that probably aren't even in yet. But one thing certain, if it's not you, It could be somebody in your group. You know, everybody that gets in has a sponsor, and that would be kind of a fun thing. If you're not so big yourself, all you got to do is find a couple of those kind of people, and then you are one. So spread your net out. If you ever thought about running, raising your game, what a golden moment! And then just get plugged in. If you don't have a mentor, everybody that's successful has one, and this is worthy of your all. Get a mentor or several, and get plugged into the communication. And if you're listening to this, just the fact that you are, I don't believe it's a coincidence that that this could be and should be your destiny. So give this their careful consideration, and I recommend your commitment. See how good you are. Run as fast as you can. See how fast that could be. Mike, you're awesome, but you're getting better.
Thank you, Dave. Well, you're one of the best, so I'm happy to hear that.
Well, this has been a tremendous call. I appreciate you, and it's fun to run with you. And any just final thought or call to action?
I like what you just said about the mentoring. If you haven't put yourself on the hook, you know, you're a little bit afraid or timid about making yourself accountable because, oh, gosh, you know, I've set goals and I haven't achieved them and I've done this. And all that pity party stuff is just not going to get you anywhere in life. So why don't you just go out on a limb right now and reach up and find somebody who's in your upline who's actually part of this mentoring and say, I want you to mentor me. What do I need to do? Sign that form. Put yourself in a corner where one of my friends is says he's going to write a book. I hope he does. Called Scared Successful. The idea is, you know, if what Bob Proctor always talks about, if you're not afraid, if your goal doesn't scare you, you haven't set a big enough goal, because the fact that it scares you indicates that it's bigger than who you are being. That means you're going to have to become somebody bigger than who you are. Well, who you are now is producing the results you are now seeing in your life. If you want better results, you got to be a bigger person. And that means you've got to grow into somebody who can hold the space of that bigger result. Well, that's going to help if you have a mentor that can see that potential in you and will encourage you every step of the way, especially when the pity party comes to greet you at the door in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening when you haven't had such a good day. You got that mentor you can reach up to, and they'll say, hey, smack you in the face and say a few times, hey, remember who you are. Remember who you're being. You're not being that other person. That person doesn't exist anymore. You're not being the person who owns this goal, who owns this achievement. That's who you are. That's who I'm here to remind you. Go for it.
Well, let's do it. Wow. I'm excited. Wow, that's really, we make magnets and wonderful things, but what we really do is make human beings more, helping people realize their potential greatness, and all of us. God has blessed every one of us with just wonderful abilities and strengths that we should use and exhaust and use them for good. So I think we ought to go for it, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care, my friend.
Take care.